on broadcasting the Webcomic Beacon.
Hello and welcome to the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com, but also at the new Webcast Beacon Network website at webcastbeacon.com. This is episode 194 of the Webcomic Beacon, and we are hosted on the Rampage Network, a webcomics hosting and community site at rampagenetwork.com. I'm, of course, Fess, the host with the least at from fessworks.com. Mark and Tanya are out at the moment. We might get Tanya later, but I think Mark is still in the middle of one of his moving trips, as he still is making that journey one carload at a time across two states. In any case, we have something. Well, I gotta make a quick announcement before we get into this week's show. Because for some of you that get us on the feeds via the RSS feed or through iTunes, you'll have to go to webcastbeacon.com and grab a new feed. The Webcomic Beacon, the Webcomic Beacon Newscast, and the Tropecast are all going to be different shows. So you can either go to webcastbeacon.com and grab the master feed link. The iTunes links are coming soon. Tanya just submitted them. Because the old links, the old RSSs probably won't work right once we do the switch over. So just letting you know ahead of time, and we are basically launching the website this week. Maybe not today technically, because I still have to get the first episode of the Web Fiction World out. So keep an eye on for that. Just take a look at webcastbeacon.com for all the different things that are available to you. And check out our contacts page. Follow each show on Twitter. More of that later when I... probably next week once the site is officially launched. But I'm hoping it will be by the time this episode of the Webcomic Beacon reaches the internet in MP3 form this week. We are going to be talking about journal webcomics, something that I think we talked about a little bit before, but I don't think we've had an actual dedicated episode on it before. So this week we have three guests with us. First off, we have Leslie Davidson from Peeling Onions at peeling-onions.com. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
No problem. Thanks for coming. We also have Ryan Dow from Introspective Comics at ryandow.com/IC. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
And we also have Rory, I don't have a last name, for Tiny Pink Robots at tinypinkrobots.smackjeeves.com/comics. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hi, everyone.
Hello, Rory. Hello, Ryan.
Hi.
Well, alrighty, now with that out of the way, we are broadcasting live at on Ustream for those who are listening, and for those who might be missing our live shows with the switchover, we are still doing the live shows, just it's a different Ustream channel, so keep an eye on that. We do have some people with us in the chat room. If you have any questions, just kind of hang tight, as I don't frequently check the chat room, but I'll try to see if I can get any of your questions in, if you have them. First off, we're going to be going about this show. We're going to be basically looking closer at each of their comics, and then we'll go into journal comics in general discussion and just see where things go. So, this is kind of a weird thing, because normally we have our guests tell us what your comic's about, but then again, these are journal comics, so they're about you, aren't they?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
So, so Leslie, how about we just start with you?
Sure.
So, I guess, tell us about yourself, and I guess, why are you doing this journal? What came about you to do a journal comic online?
Well, I originally started wanting to do children's illustration, but the subject matter I wanted to tackle was more about things in my own life, more adult situations, adult thoughts, adult topics, and the pairing of dialogue and writing and illustration was really important, and that's how it evolved. I wasn't initially a fan of comics, at all. It was just the best medium for how I wanted to tell the stories I wanted to tell.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so it's evolved over time and it's continued to evolve, as you can see from the beginning to now. The art has evolved, the stories have evolved, my interests have changed as well. And I just want to tell stories that resonate with me, that have meaning to me, and connect with the world, hopefully.
Okay. And you've actually collected these and printed a couple of books already.
Yeah, I've done about a volume a year. Volume 1, Volume 2, and I'm currently working on Volume 3 to come out in August. Fan Expo is our big kind of comic sci-fi pop culture show in Toronto. And that's where I end up showcasing the new volume every year.
Okay. Oh, was there more?
Oh, no, there wasn't. That was yes, I've collected them in volumes.
All right. Let's see, do you work in watercolor or what is it?
Yeah, I do now. I do now work in watercolor. It went through a process of first pen and ink, and then I did Photoshop tones, which was like purgatory. And then I moved back into watercolor, which is what I learned to paint in when I was a child. It's really comfortable and fun for me. So pursue the joy, people. Just always follow what feels really good. So that's why I'm back with watercolor.
Is this like real watercolor or is it digital watercolor?
No, it's real watercolor.
Cool.
Yeah, except the illustration I gave to you was digital.
Okay.
But the comic is watercolor. And I've moved back into color. I was doing monochromatic in that kind of burgundy peachy color, and now I'm back to full color, and I'm exploring that, which is a challenge.
Well, sorry, I was getting a phone call on the Skype, and I guess I have that problem. All right. So, you can't see all the problems that I'm having just right now.
I'm picturing you at, like, Master Control, eh? Where there's just, like, buttons and knobs and lights and stuff going off.
Yeah. Let's see here. I was gonna make a quick segue. I think it's next week we're going to actually be doing a show on watercoloring, and we have to have three other guests for that, too, so.
Nice.
I was going to say, the coloring used to be, when you did tones, I think was, I want to call it chamomile tone.
Yeah, it was kind of chamomile, but that was watercolor, and I originally did it in green, and then would change the watercolors in Photoshop to be that chamomile,
yeah, chamomile,
peach, whatever.
Yeah, something like that. pink clay, I don't know. All right. Next, I think we'll move on over to Ryan Dow with Introspective Comics.
Yes, hi. As far as what my comic is about, I didn't really know about journal comics when I started off. It sounds kind of like Leslie was in the same deal. I didn't really know if it would work at the time, and then like later I found out about like James Gachalka and like John Porcellino and all of those people. So for me, it was more like I just kind of wanted to start a comic about something, and it was kind of a reaction to a lot of like autobio comics I was reading, like a lot of angry zines at the time. So I thought I was going to try and make something that was more like just quiet and introspective, which is where it got called Introspective Comics. And over time, that's changed, because I do write comics about anger a lot now, and I've been writing a lot about trying to recover from a depression. So there's a lot of serious stuff, but I try to be fairly lighthearted about it, too. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
You also have a recurring character that you have a little Buddha character that reoccurs every once in a while. Obviously, I'm thinking this is not something that actually happens in real life.
It's not like strict like journal comics. But no, I mean, Little Buddha, the character came about. Originally, the idea behind the strip was basically it was going to be a one-person strip. it was just going to have this, it was just going to focus on one character like throughout the whole series. But I realized after a while, like, it was just getting kind of boring drawing monologues all the time. So I created this character called Little Buddha because I was very much into Buddhism at the time. And I still am. And so he kind of was my conscience, basically. And basically, like, any time conversation I'm having with him is basically a conversation I've had with myself at some point.
Let's see here. Yeah, I totally get on the, you had no idea that there were other things like this until after you do it. That's how I came up with the podcast. It was like, I'll make a webcomics podcast. No, never did that. Well, it helps if you Google your idea first and realize, oh, look, there's digital strips. There's the Gigcast. There's web fiction. There's Webcomics Weekly. Oh, well, not as original as I thought, huh?
Yeah, it happens.
But I think that helps because then you're not one of those people that end up stealing from other people. I guess like Penny Arcade copiers, but when you got a journal comic like this, it's a lot more personal stuff. Do you have any problems? I mean, because you I know a lot of your earlier stuff, or at least some of the stuff when I started reading it, there was like a lot of like very personal stuff.
And it's actually it veers back and forth between that. I try to be careful. Like I don't like if I'm mad at a coworker or something, I'm not gonna like post like this guy's an idiot, you know, or anything like that, because like stuff could kind of bite me. Or maybe if I'm mad at a specific person, I'll make like a generic character that represents that person.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, I do try to be careful. I've kind of noticed that. You know, if I do come into a situation where like I need to look for a job or something, like most of the time people do Google search your name and stuff for things like that. And you know, if I am looking for a job, like I will usually do a few strips that are maybe not as personal, or find a way to do things that are more abstract, so that you know it's so that they find good stuff. But because they usually don't dive into the archives too much,
mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean I haven't really had a major problem come up yet since I started this comic. I've had problems in the past, like with.
Oh, do we lose Ryan? Think we lost Ryan. Uh-oh, this is what happens. Obviously, something from the past came back to get him.
Karma.
Oh, we did lose Ryan there. Yep, he got taken out, I guess. Oh, we're trying. There he is.
Okay, am I back?
Yeah, you were just about to reveal some information from the past when you mysteriously disappeared.
Yeah, Skype. I was going to say something about Skype, and yeah, it just cut off. But yeah, I mean, I do try to be careful about it. And, you know, there are some things I don't make comics about, so yeah. But I usually just do what I'm comfortable doing, so.
Well, all righty. We'll probably get into a little bit more on details and other specifics and concerns of journal comics after we talk with Rory. But before we get to Rory, sorry, I do have to say we have our other co-host with us, Tanya Higgins. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Can you actually
hear me? Hi.
You're a little quiet. I had the same problem with Alex, her using the new mic last episode, and she ended up switching back to her headset. I think we need to actually configure them at some point. But,
I don't want to actually have to eat it. Is this better?
That is a lot better, and I apologize.
It's three inches from my face.
we'll have to go over some settings and such later. If you can't boost your Skype microphone settings or your computer microphone volume settings.
They're both all the way up.
Man, that sucks. We'll figure something out.
Okay.
But yeah, you are quiet.
I can switch over.
If you can, that'll be okay for now, and then we'll figure out the other thing later.
Okay. Hold on.
And as long as we're on the subject, Ryan, you are a little louder than everyone else, so.
Okay. Introspective Comics is really loud on the internet.
Loud. How's this?
That sounds pretty good.
Okay.
All right. All right, well, enough of, digital figure this out masterpiece. We have Rory from Tiny Pink Robots. Now, I will say that you're one of those comics that has a name that doesn't describe itself.
No.
And so let's go over, well, your reasons for making a journal comic.
Well, I guess it started back in like 2007, actually, when I took a class on comics at my college, which was taught by Ivan Brunetti, if anyone knows who that is. Awesome.
Yeah. Rory, you're going to have to speak louder.
No! Okay, I'll try.
Okay.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Okay. So it started back in college. I actually started doing journal comics because I was introduced to journal comics. It was an assignment in the class because we just went through and did different... we just went through and did different types of comics. And so it started out with... I just decided to continue with a comic called Because of Ivan, which was much more... The art was just sketchy. I would just draw it out. I wouldn't do any finished art. And the content was a lot more just raw and emotional and, you know, me just having it as an outlet.
Mm-hmm.
And then at... So I did that for, you know, however many years off and on. And then... This late December, I just kind of decided that I wanted to do a strip every day as a challenge. So I figured that this would be the easiest thing to do. And I kind of felt it's interesting to hear what Ryan said about the, I guess, the pessimism and everything in certain comics, because I felt I had done enough of the really sad, miserable comics. So I decided to focus on the lighter, happier, cat-filled part of my life. And it's not complete. I mean, it's written, so it's not it's edited. It's not exactly real life. It's pretty much what happened to me. But you know, I don't actually have, you know, coffee scents, and I've never been attacked by bigoted Twitter birds, so there's a whimsical aspect to it. As well.
Can I ask a question? Am I allowed to?
No. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rory, like when you decided to focus on the lighter side of your life, did you find that impacted how you saw your life as a result, or was it just an editing point within yourself? Do you know what I mean? Like, did you find that having to focus on that changed the way you saw your life?
It has. It has, because it's forced me to actually look for things in my life that are funny. And I've realized over the past 5 months that there's a lot of stuff in my life that at least I find hilarious. I actually just went through this thing very recently, though, where I was like, I need to start doing Because of Ivan again, because I feel like I'm a fraud, because there's things in my life that are sad, too, and I'm not writing about them. So I guess it goes both ways, but I it's definitely improved my outlook. Like, I went through the pretty much the time I've been doing Tiny Pink Robots has not been the best time in my life. So it's definitely been a bright point.
Wow, because your comic is really, like, my impression of your life based on your comic is filled with bunnies and cats and love and fun and laughter. Seriously, like, my boyfriend and I sat and read a bunch of it this morning, and he's like, that's us. We're like that. And I'm like, her life is so great. I love her life. And now I'm so interested, though, Rory. Write the sad, too. I want to connect with you on another level as well.
Awesome.
That is an interesting aspect to look at it. Obviously, since you know, as with any autobiographical content, there's certainly liberties, exaggerations, and trimmings made. And it's quite possible that, like you said, you cut out the bad to focus on the good, and then I guess you can give people a misconception of the real Rory, but
Well, there are comics that go the other way as
well.
Oh
yeah,
you can actually hear me. My friend Lonnie Allen does a series of comics that wow, it's kind of opening a vein, pretty much. They're really quite disturbing about the darker aspects of his life. So I think it would be difficult to do a blend where you're just doing the happy things and the bad things and kind of putting it all together. It wouldn't seem cohesive, even though that's clearly the way life is.
Yeah, that's definitely a problem that I've had, because what will happen with me is like somebody will link to one of my comics off of Reddit or something like that, and like they won't know what to do if somebody posts a funny one or an unfunny one, I should say. Like I'll get these like, or somebody will post on a forum or something, and then somebody will say this comic isn't funny, or and then maybe somebody will respond, you know, well it's funnier than XKCD or something like that, and it's like, okay, not everything I do is funny, but I do like to do funny stuff every once in a while, so I don't know.
Well, but that brings up the point that why are we doing it? Like, if I thought about creating comics for an audience, I would be paralyzed about what to write. Do you know what I mean? Like, I do it for myself primarily, and because there's things that I'd like to share. Mm-hmm. And they do go up and down. Like, there's some really terrible stuff in my comic. You know, really like emotional, horrible stuff. And there's some really funny stuff too, but they do kind of roll on waves. And some of the stuff attracts some people, and then they're really put off by other stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, I'm just, I don't know, maybe I'm selfish, but I'm not doing it for anyone but myself.
I think that's practical. Yeah. And, you know, you're never going to be able to, please everyone all of the time anyway. You're still going to get the emails that say, hey, that last comic wasn't funny, even if you're trying to be funny all the time. So, you know, do what you're doing.
Yeah, don't. It wasn't really bothering me. It just comes up. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, people do comment.
We're gonna take a quick break, and we're going to approach this question again once we come back. I need to switch recordings here, so we'll be right back with that same question.
This program is a part of the Webcast Beacon Network and is hosted on the Rampage Network. Follow us on Twitter at Webcomic Beacon. Email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail by calling 1-320-310-0922. The Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007. Webcomics, comic news, tropes, and web fiction at webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
But, the question is, why are we doing this? Why put yourself on the internet? Why invite so many strangers into your life? I remember this being like a thing a long time ago. Well, relatively speaking, a long time ago on the internet. You know, people in journal comics and some people have treated journal comic like live journal. I mean, where they'll write all this very personal stuff and then they get offended or surprised that like more people than just them are paying attention. It's like them not paying attention to that. Hello, it's the internet. It's public.
The internet is forever.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, it is.
there's stuff I just know. I just post it. It's just like, never going to be president.
Yeah, every once in a while, I think it would hit me when I would get together with, like, family. And someone would say, so I saw last Friday's comic, and your brain starts to race like, oh God, what was last Friday?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. I just start by apologizing. I'm sorry. Whatever it was, I apologize, and we can move on from there. But yeah.
I never apologize for it, ever.
Well, my mom is, you know, they were learning things about my sexual habits that I don't think they needed to know. And I had told them, well, don't read the comic.
Don't read it.
Please. There have been times I've called them and said, whatever you do, not today, okay? and they did it anyway. So at that point, it's their foul.
No. I think I might have told maybe a handful of people at places that I've worked my online stuff. Aside from that, I don't, I didn't even tell, okay, this July will be my fifth year in making my webcomic. I only told my immediate and my immediate family already knew, but I only recently told my extended family last year that I do webcomics. That I do comics online because it's a Catholic raised family, and I talk about paganism and kind of and magic, and I swear a lot, and it's like I just didn't want to hear about it from my family, and of course I don't want to link that with anything I do, which is why I don't use my given name online.
That's why I don't use my last name.
Yeah. So this is an interesting question, though. So we all are aware that there will be situations where maybe we're confronted by somebody who read something that maybe they didn't so much like, or it was a little too personal for them, or whatever else in our real lives. So why do we do it? Why do we put it out there?
Wow, silence.
Yeah.
I don't think it through, okay? We didn't think it through.
Deep-seated masochism.
Yeah,
deep-seated masochism or...
No, I think it's courage. Do you know what I mean? Like, I really come from the point of view that I think we're courageous to do this. So many people spend their lives hiding or trying to present a particular mask to the world that will be acceptable. Whereas if you have the strength to really show who you are, that's a gift to other people. Where if you show your vulnerability, you show your mistakes, your failings, plus your joy and your love and your connection, that is an invitation for others to be just as authentic. That's what I see, and that's what I see that I'm doing. And it's also the reason why I will defend or at least stand up and hold everything that I put on the internet. It's why I use my real name. It's why I link like who I am out there. Is because I'm willing to stand up and say, this is what I believe is the truth right now, and I'm going to share it with you, and you can come and say whatever you want or share with me back or whatever. That's where I'm coming from.
Well,
that's a good place. I've gotten, not so much with Tiny Peak Robots, but with Because of Ivan before it, I actually got a lot of feedback from people who would help them feel, I guess, less alone and less, the phrase was less crazy.
So, less isolated,
that's
yeah.
That's actually really nice.
Mm-hmm. And I know that when I started, you know, I had been encouraged by, you know, other comics that I had read and just the general notion that whatever you're going through at any given time, there's a million other people going through the same thing, and that you know, good or bad, and that connection is what makes being human so great. You know, it's that shared experience that you can verbalize and you can express in some artistic fashion, and other people will get it. And you know, it's just casting a net and saying, hey, who's like this? And seeing comes back. And that's why I felt so strongly about using my real name. And it's been interesting at times.
yes.
But I do think that there was a very strong feeling that I'm not going to hide, that this is my life. I'm sharing it. And so I'm going to name it my life. This is
right. Yeah.
Well, I do have a couple of questions here. We did get Ryan's answer, but I want to find... Rory, why did you call your comic Tiny Pink Robots when there aren't any?
Well, there are a couple. It happens.
Okay.
In, like, one strip. There's, like, a robot in one strip. Oh, wait, and there's a nerve spot. You know, it was just... I guess I didn't want it to be something too leading. I wanted it to be kind of just something that could be its own thing. I don't know if I'm explaining this correctly.
Basically, a name to get a draw, and it'd be fun.
Something a little fun and not necessarily saying exactly what it is.
Okay.
It could be ambiguous so that the readers can sort of figure it out on their own. They're not being led to a conclusion by the title. That kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly. Especially in case, you know, I'm in this for at least a year. I'd like to do it longer than that. So if I should decide to switch gears, it will allow me to allow me that movement.
Ooh, future planning.
That's actually really smart. That's smart.
I know, I'm so adult.
It's not Rory's diary comic. It's Tiny Pink Robots, which is an umbrella for whatever you want it to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, which brings me to peeling onions, and I gotta ask, is it because ogres have layers?
Oh my god, I always get this. I swear to god, I did not understand where that was coming from. People would say, ogres have layers. So I'm like, yeah, I guess. Are you calling me an ogre? And then I watch Shrek. I swear I didn't choose that because of Shrek.
Maybe Shrek used it because of your comic.
Sorry?
Maybe Shrek stole it from you.
That's unlikely.
Okay.
All right. But it's apt.
I just ogres thought it layers. Was because...
Sorry?
I didn't think of Shrek. I thought it was because when you peel onions, you cry, but you need to peel them because they're delicious.
That's wonderful. That's part of it, yeah.
I just thought it was about layers, but not necessarily in a Shrek sort of way.
Well,
it's all about layers.
And there's one thing I got.
And crying and smelling and delicious.
Especially battered and deep fried.
Deep fried. Yeah, it's all of that.
All right. So one thing I got to say, Leslie. Well, I have no idea about what you actually look like. And I don't know. Well, I know what Ryan looks like. And I don't know about Rory. But when I came across peeling onions, I don't know where, when, or how. And I was like, an artist that's not drawing themselves in a super idealed form, at least, you know, mainstream-y-wide. Because I know a couple of people that will draw them how they wish they looked, more so. And you look a lot more real of an inserted character in your comic, is what I'm saying. And I appreciate that.
Well, thank you. Oh.
So
sorry, I got a feedback there. So, yeah, thanks. I felt that there was, if I'm going to be authentic, there was no reason to idealize myself. And I didn't want anyone to come up to me at a convention and go, "You don't look like you do in the comic," or "You're a lot fatter than you are." I'm like, I got chub. I better draw some chub on there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I like it when I see women drawn like, there's some
like
curves.
Women?
There's a little bit of a belly. A little bit of a belly there. I mean, I can see it in Rory's stuff as well. Look, hips. enough area for organs to exist with inside the body, too.
That's always nice. The waist that is thinner than their head, as Spike recently mentioned. Yeah.
That's horrible. Hey, where's Ryan? Ryan?
Yes. I don't draw myself the way I look.
Yeah.
I don't. Well, the biggest thing is I don't draw myself with glasses. I actually drew a guest comic for Athena Courier, which hasn't run yet. She's a Minnesota cartoonist who does like an autobio strip, and I actually drew myself more how I look in there with glasses. And part of it was I was kind of being a bitter old man in the comic, so I kind of drew myself. The glasses kind of helped that look, but I kind of drew myself in this very generic sort of way because I think I kind of wanted people to see themselves in the character. I think also like I was afraid that like putting glasses on the character would get in the way of like the emotions of it. Like, I don't know.
Just from an artistic sense, being able to see the eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. It
makes it harder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I think originally I was thinking that this was going to be introspective comics, so I think was going to have this character who looked like he was perpetually staring into space. So that's why I originally started doing like dot eyes for characters. So,
yeah. Ryan, I don't think you draw yourself as tall as you are in person.
I've been told that, and I've been trying to work on that because somebody told me at a convention once that I look like I draw myself like I'm 3 feet tall. And I'm actually about twice. I'm a little over twice that high. So yeah.
So we're learning secrets on the beacon today.
Yes,
secrets.
Ryan is not in fact 3 feet tall.
Yes.
Checking the Ustream chat and seeing if there's any questions. And apparently there's a delay in the typing, but it doesn't look like it. There's any questions for the show, but. So I'm going to look away from it now. And let's see here. Question. What do you do about other people that are not you when using their names?
Ho-ho-ho.
I ask permission. Always, I ask permission. And most people are really great about giving permission to be in the comic. But then then they'll say no about stuff that they don't want to include. And sometimes you can get around that by like making up generic characters like Ryan does. Mm-hmm. But I prefer myself to just ask permission and then go ahead and write, the story arc as it happened. And some people like Inkstead are sad that they gave outright permission for me to do anything that I wanted to.
Yeah.
But he was a pretty good sport about it.
I don't think I ever named anyone.
That's certainly a way around it.
I just kind of realized that I've never named my husband, and he's in most of the strips, so.
Well, you probably have like the typical relationship pet names in there, but that's not really descriptive, so.
No.
Yeah. Honey doesn't really call you out at work.
Yeah. Random grocery shopper in the aisle.
Yeah.
What about you, Ryan?
I've never really thought about asking permission. probably should.
Especially with that one.
Usually if it's something like if it's something good or if it's something that's funny or if it's something that usually if it's somebody I know, like it's somebody I've known long enough to kind of know that they wouldn't care. Or like, I have a lot of cartoonist friends that we just kind of end up drawing each other and everybody else's stuff. So it's like, it's kind of implicit. I've never actually had to ask, and it's never come up where most of my friends are kind of like quiet narcissists anyway. So we like attention of any kind. So
I found that every once in a while I would announce in a room when something bizarre or amusing was happening. Everybody knows I'm a journal comiker, right? And everybody would kind of chuckle quietly. And then it was sort of tacit. It was implied consent. But I did use fake names. But anyone who knew me well enough would know who everybody was.
Right.
But strangers on the street wouldn't.
Ryan, I got to ask you. I think I talked to you on back... Man, a couple years ago, I just basically went around FullCon and I interviewed everybody and ended up with like 2 hours, 3 hours of content,
yeah,
which was a pain in the butt. But you had this story, I think, which I forget what it was, but it was with some particularly angry fellow.
What's it like? Weekends with Carl?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a story. It was kind of an experiment early on when I was doing introspective comics. I thought I'd try to do like one big long story. And it was kind of the idea. Originally, I talked about how the comic was going to be this one person. Well, after a while, I got to thinking about, you know, why would I want to do that? And I think it was just because I had this friendship that went really bad, just like went really, really wrong. And I decided to do a big, long story about that. Now, that one I did take a bit of a risk on because, you know, there is some risk that this person could find out about it and would be angry about it. But at the same time, like, I wasn't even making comics at the time that this event happened. So it's probably pretty safe.
But you didn't use the last name, though, right?
I didn't use any last names, and I changed his name.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it's not as real. Carl's not the real character's name. So, and, you know, very few people would be able to pick out who the real person is. That's kind of why I did it. So, you know, it's kind of why I went ahead. I mean, it's one of those things I'm very nervous about. And at the same time, too, like, it's probably, like, I've had enough distance from it. Like, it's commercial-wise, it's been my most unsuccessful book that I've made. It just, I have a hard time selling it, so I think it'll be okay.
Wow. Why do you think that is? Do you think it's...
I think, well, the other book I made was called Failing Buddhism, and I think that has that kind of draw to it, like... People know somebody who knows Buddhism, or, you know, people who've tried Buddhism for a couple of years but didn't feel like they were very good at it. So
yeah.
That has like that built-in audience. But like, if you name your book Weekends with Carl, like, it's hard to know what that book is or what it's going to be about. So, and I think also, like, when you do something that's like that personal, like, there is a part of you that kind of sabotages your ability to promote it. Because
yeah.
There's like that, there's that sort of, I want you to really read this. So, no, wait, no, I don't. kind of give and take.
Now, this is something actually I've talked, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I wanted to bring up that point. Like, how do you guys do at conventions promoting your work? I find it the most difficult thing. Like, I don't know if that associated with what you were talking about, Tanya, but...
I was actually just going to say, I've seen this actually...
High five!
It's not a lot of... It's not every journal comicer. Obviously, Jenny Breeden, if you've ever seen her sell at a convention...
She's a whore! Rocks. She's a promotion whore! It's
I love her! It's brilliant! Watching her sell at a convention, it's like... It's a spectator sport. I love it. But...
She is shameless, and
I did find myself sabotaging myself. You know, people would... Oh, and what's this about? And I'm like, oh, it's... Stuff about...
Yeah.
Why?
Well, it boils down to basically you're at a convention saying, look at me!
Me!
Look at, pay attention to me! Hey,
my
hey.
Life is so amusing, you must buy it! Yeah.
But it probably is.
Well, you know,
it's probably awesome. When people like journal comics, they like journal comics. You know what I mean? Like, I love it. I'm a consumer, huge consumer of autobio comics.
Yeah.
So I want to be introduced to new stuff, but I'm like, I was at Mocha in April and I had my head down drawing for almost the whole weekend just because I just sunk into myself like,
you know, it's kind of funny because I just did a talk like last Wednesday or last Thursday about self-promotion because we started doing this thing. I'm part of a group called the Cartoonist Conspiracy that does jams. And they did videotape it, and we'll see whenever it goes up. But I did actually talk about self-promotion somewhat because, for me, I kind of had to distance myself from my own work a little bit. Like, because I even basically said, you know, I'm not really going around, look at me. I'm saying, like, look at this comic.
Yeah.
Like, I've had to kind of psychologically, like, once I've drawn it and put it down, like, it's not my life anymore in a weird way. I don't know.
That's actually really smart.
It's all of a sudden it's open for interpretation from the people reading it.
I basically invented a convention persona to where I can trick myself. It's a complete lie, but it's a lie that works. I can trick myself into thinking that the person that I'm promoting is not me. and then it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm on board. I'm trying that next. I have to do something. What I'm doing right now is not working.
It's a warped little headspace where you're like, no, this person, I'm play acting a person that seems remarkably similar to me. That's all it is. And then you're okay.
That's awesome.
Like, well, then you have me that's in denial that the main character in my comic has anything to do with me, despite having the same name and kind of looks like
me. Don't say it too many times or you won't be able to deny it anymore.
No, I do deny it. It's like, no, it's a different character now because I have a different self-inserted character. See how confusing it got. But we're going to take a quick break and we're going to finish this up when we come back as we continue our discussion on Journal webcomics. That was Drive Through Diary by My Little Radio at musicalley.com by Mevio.
Yay. And the breaks are half a second long.
Oh, by the way, there's no real break.
Yeah, he lies. It's all
a lie. It's all recorded, yeah.
It starts with his own persona is a lie, and then everything else just feeds from that. It's just all a lie. I actually have a question about something that I'm dealing with now that I've never figured out. Maybe you guys have figured this out. What do you do when your private life, which you've put out to the world, gains momentum and you find it, like, maybe a little more interesting than you had hoped it would be, and maybe more people are interested than you maybe secretly hoped would be, and suddenly the private life is very public and very much moving, and you kind of have to go with that momentum. Does that freak anybody else out?
Celebrities have to deal with that.
Okay, I'm not a celebrity.
Well, you are.
This is like super, super minor. But the momentum hits, and all of a sudden you know that it's not just your family reading the comic. And now you're invested, and it's become a thing that you're controlling. Does anyone else? Is it just me? Oh, God.
So, you know, no, because you start to question authenticity. You're like, am I doing this just so I can write a strip about it? Are my friends know about the strip. Are they doing this just so they can get in the strip?
Oh.
You mean like that?
Like, oh, God, I hadn't thought about
all
that.
All of a sudden, it's this weird, like emotional uncertainty principle that's just, like, snowballing, and you're like, I don't know. I'm observing it, and I'm changing it, and I don't know what's real anymore.
Wow. No, now I'm about that.
I'm sorry. I just gave you a neurosis.
Hey, new one. I just meant like the general, you start a project kind of, I think we all sort of assume in the back of our minds that nobody's going to care. And then people care. What is that? I mean, does that bother anyone else mentally? Like, oh crap, they really like it?
I kind of look at that as like fear of rejection over the long run. Like, I think we have like a start off, you have like a fear of rejection at first. Like, you know, what if they don't like me? But at first, you're not really investing that much, so it's not that big of a deal because you just think, oh, nobody cares. And then, like, when people do start liking your stuff, then it's like, oh, wait, I don't want to let these people down.
Yeah, so what if they get to that? Know me? What if they get to know me and then they reject me? That's awesome.
Oh.
But, I mean, isn't it,
forget
like...
Forget them because you're awesome.
Thank you.
They're just bad people.
Fuck them. But then it gets back to the whole point of like doing it for yourself. Like, I don't worry about anyone in my life doing weird stuff to get in the comic strip because I am so choosy about what stories I tell. Just because someone does something funny, because it's not a daily thing, and my autobio tends to go in more of a narrative stream. So there's no guarantee from moment to moment what's getting in to the comic, and it has everything to do with what I'm considering important at that time, what's really connecting with me or meaningful for me. So, and that's just it, is I constantly have to push aside comments on the internet, what people say in the conventions, as much as I love connecting with people, because that's really the point. That's why I'm doing it, because I want to connect, right. You know? But I still, when it comes to making a comic, it's got to be me. Just me doing
your thing.
What I feel, you know, guided to do at the moment.
But does anyone have a fear of success?
Totally.
Oh, good.
No, totally.
Fear of success.
I have a terrifying fear of success. Absolutely.
I don't think it's fear of success. I think what you're getting at, if I was understanding, is just that, oh, you're doing this thing, and it's like, then you realize, I don't have much of a private life anymore, and complete strangers probably know too much about me.
Well, it is a fear of success, because it's journal comicking is a form of intimacy. You are sharing yourself with other people. It is one thing in my mind, I can hold in my mind, being intimate with, I don't know, 100 people on that level. To know that you are intimate with 10,000 people on that level is scary.
Giggity.
I guess
to me, other people I know are like, "Yay, that'd be awesome."
You know, I mean, sometimes, but I think, you know, with the exception of me, you know, wondering if everything is real and kind of doing the freak out, I kind of hit a partition between
a boundary.
Even though it's autobiographical, it's a partition between the real me that is. Just living, and the person that I edit and write into the strips. And I don't know, maybe that's why I like just using my first name, because it's like, it's still a persona. It's still, there's still an artistic separation.
Ah, okay.
So.
Damn it, I forgot my psychological shield.
Yeah.
It's my problem.
Especially when you're meeting people.
Yeah, it's when I'm meeting people that it.
Yeah, and Like, I find that the actual table works as a good physical boundary for someone who's really connected to you and connected to your work.
Do you love the table.
Or, like, leaning in? Do you have the
leaning in? I don't like leaners.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
That's you got to create a boundary because there is a separation. They're connecting to you through your creation, through your creative activity. It's not... It is you, but it's indirect through you. It's not like you. They have a personal relationship. That's right. Weird. It's true. That's a weird, weird thing, but kind of cool that, you know, your life experience can flow out into the world in waves and connect people on such an intimate level. It's cool. But boundaries, girl.
Damn it. Yeah, there's a reason Daisies and Shit is this late. Like, it's adult neurosis at this point. Ryan, you were going to say something.
I'm trying to remember what I was going to say.
I wanted to bring up...
Oh,
go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if... I hate to bring gender into it, but I don't know if the fact that I'm male, like, I don't get as many creepy people after me as much. I do every once in a while, but I don't know.
You don't notice because you're male.
Possibly, because I don't know if I've been trained to look, like, view, you know, search out for predators as much.
Yeah. Right. I got one creepy email when I was in my first few months. That was basically it.
Well, yeah, I mean, Weekends with Carl did have, like, a prominently gay character in it. So I did get a lot of creepy emails every once in a while about that, about like, oh, now he's going to kiss him. And it's like, no, this is based on my life. I'm not going to just make stuff up just to, yeah.
It's just a fan service.
Yeah.
There is a little bit of that with my husband is like, you know, kind of on the watch for people creeping on me. So, I have a prominently, I don't know if this helps, but I have a prominently young female audience, at least at the moment.
That would help.
So most of the feedback I get is actually pretty awesome because I feel like I'm like a cool older sister for these awesome budding, you know, geeky, cartoon loving, comic loving girls. So.
Yeah, my reader set was pretty solidly 25 to 35 college educated males.
Wow.
80%.
Interesting.
80%.
Really?
25 to 45 college-educated males. 80%.
Yeah. See, mine was that, but it was split almost equally between male and female, but the same age group and education status. Wow, that's weird.
Yeah, thanks.
Sorry.
No, it was interesting to me. I was surprised when I learned that.
What do you think it was? What do you think that you were sharing that was bringing? Like, I've shown TNA.
Yeah,
okay,
it was,
well, there you go. Yeah,
I think actually the cue came from a female reader. I don't know if they were state a reader, but basically calling me out for being a man writing poorly as a woman because no woman acts that way.
Oh my God!
Yeah, the email basically said, I appreciate what you're doing, but women don't really act like that. This is complete fantasy fulfillment. How dare you? Blah, blah, blah.
Was that the most righteous middle finger ever?
It was! I was like, wow, do I have to turn in my vagina? Because I'm pretty sure I'm a chick.
You need to produce the original birth certificate proving that you are a woman.
Right. I'm going to have to pull an Obama. Look.
Yeah.
It's Jake. I'll print it in PDF and y'all can see where I was born and how I was born. Part. Yeah. What? So I do think that part of it is that I am an atypical female. And so I think it is coming across as kind of fantasy fulfillment. Like, everybody knows that character that people write that's crappy, where they're like this girl who really likes sex and playing video games and blah 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 blah, and I just kind of happen to be her, and so oops. So I think that's probably where I got my demographic and probably why I have this bizarre fear of people reading it now.
Well, yeah. I have a question where
that irks me. It irks me because I kind of feel there's sometimes this pressure to, you know, be this person that you see on TV and that and that scene is typical, and that's total, oh my god, that is total big bullshit lie.
Yeah, you it's know, true. That whole
people
idea.
Don't act like that. That's, yes. that's the lie, and people think it's the truth, and then they beat themselves up for not
being that.
The lie.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry.
Tammy, you're courageous.
I know a lot of girls who really love sex, and who also love video games. So.
Yes!
Holla, all the girls love sex.
Holla! But that's just because you're courageous for putting out your true self as you really are, because we're not supposed to like sex. It's we're supposed to be dainty or fucking something, I don't know what, but that's awesome, you rock so hard.
I'll take that little clip and I will play that the next time I'm terrified to do a comic. I'll be like, no, I'm awesome. It's fine.
Yes. You rock so hard. Put that as a banner in your studio. Do it.
Okay.
We need more role models. We need more role models of authentic, real women being sexual and awesome and intelligent and liking video games or being whatever it is.
I think you just broke Tanya. You just called her a role model.
Uh-oh.
Well, no, I think she broke most of the religious right. That's all right. we actually have a question in the chat room.
Yeah, we're running out of time, but we have time for this, and I got one more question after that.
Okay, so someone asked, how did you find your style, and why is that style representative of you?
Well,
yeah, let's switch gears. Radically.
For me, Leslie, style...
Did you go, ha?
Yeah, I did. I went, ha! Yeah, because people talk about this artistic style thing, develop your style, and to me it's just bullshit. Your style develops as you draw. It's just a natural progression of you continuing to draw daily, over and over and over again, a style develops. And that's what it is. It's not anything that I think you can preform. Do you know what I mean? Maybe you're influenced by...
It looks stilted to some degree.
Sorry?
Or if you do attempt that, it looks stilted or...
Yeah, I think it does. And I think that's why people have identifiable styles, because it comes from the act of drawing. It comes from the act of creating. It's not anything that's emplaced upon the art. It's essentially where the art grows from. And it's just, and you can't skimp. You have to draw every day, all the time, to develop a style. And it's just organic.
It just comes out.
I totally agree. I've said that so many times because people use style as an excuse. Like, my style isn't ready yet, so I'm not going to do it. Like, I hear that so much. And it's just like, no, you have that ass backwards that you have to do it. And then you understand your style, then...
Yeah.
You know.
And you have to be willing to suck. Like, you have to be willing to go through it. Seriously. Like, I didn't draw for a long time in my early 20s because I sucked. Like, and I mean, if you looked at the comic in the beginning, it sucked. So you have to be willing to be bad. You have to be willing to create things that don't match up with your vision.
Yeah.
And work towards getting there and be okay with that and see the progress. Like...
Yeah. And I do think that parts of your personal...
Oh, sorry. I yelled.
I do think that parts of your personal style come from mistakes where, you know, okay, I draw really shitty elbows. So guess what? We don't have elbows anymore. Fuck it. Like, I'm not going to torture myself over that. We're done with that. We're going to do bendy arms. Screw it. You know? And then...
That's awesome!
It's just part of growing and figuring out. So people ask me, how did you come up with your personal style? And I say, well, that's what I can draw. It's not really a choice. This is just kind of the way it happens. What about you, Ryan?
I guess I just... I mean, I feel like I kind of... had to make a deal with myself as far as, you know, like, this is how much I can draw in this allowed of, you know, this amount of time that I have, you know, this is the amount of time I'm going to spend on working on this or that. So, you know, I think a lot of my style came out of that. You know, I think originally I was a little nervous about trying to draw certain things, and then gradually as I draw more, like, that's gone away. So, like, you know, I drew like a Mortal Kombat scene, you know, a few days ago, and I realized it had to be in color, which I don't do very often. So, you know, it just kind of whatever I need to do when I do it. And I think my style is just kind of, you know, I try to draw this thing like, you know, how I want to see it, and my style ends up being how it is. So,
yeah, how I draw is my style. I do not have a choice. Yay. I do find if I'm doing something, I have a couple print comics in the works that are very dark and sort of like horror action. That's not going to work with bendy arms. Hire somebody else. Like, it's that simple. You know, there are things that I want to do as a writer I can't do as an artist. So I don't, you know.
And Ryan, you did that one comic about suddenly becoming awesome at drawing in pen and ink or brush pen.
Oh, yeah.
And it's true. There's these moments where you're just like, bang, and something comes together, it coalesces, and you reach a new height, and then you plateau for like a few months. But those to me are so, like, they're so vital, that breakthrough where you just suddenly, I can draw hands. Woo!
and there's a neurological basis for that. That it's a physical thing, and it comes from drawing every day. When the artists tell you draw every day, they're not just giving you platitudes. It's neurologically based. And when those connections are made, it sticks forever.
Rule number one. Practice, practice, practice.
The best panel I think I ever saw on this, a girl stood up and she said, you know, how do I get better at drawing? And I can't remember who it was. It might have been Jeff Jacks. Said, where's your notebook? And she's like, I don't have it with me. And he goes, well, you're not going to get any better. You've been sitting here for a half an hour. You know, it's like, where's your notebook?
Yeah.
You know, draw, 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 draw.
And draw. It's true.
And that's something for writing too, always. And I've learned this, I've always give this lip service, but I've actually been doing it lately. Always have something to write down your ideas.
Yeah.
Or if you don't like writing them, you know, record them, because
I have a tape recorder.
Then you forget them, and the only thing that's left is, I think I had an awesome idea.
Yeah.
I used to use text, but because it was so brief, I would end up with these things that would say like chicken, but funny.
Nice.
And I mean, like, that was the worst one I had. It literally said, like, chicken but funny. What the fuck am I going to do with that a month later? I have no idea. So I got a tape recorder so that I can blab at myself. Or, you know,
that's what I do, too.
I would probably make a strip out of me not knowing what it was.
I did, actually. I wasn't going to, like, throw the idea away.
Awesome.
So we're getting to the end of our time here, though.
Poor Fest.
We are, because I got to record Web Fiction World Episode 3 in, like, a few minutes. But I wanted to ask a quick question before we go. How much of you is actually you in the comic? Do you exaggerate yourself in any way because it works better for whatever you're drawing? Or is it pretty much you?
For me, it's pretty much me. I'll exaggerate facial expressions and body movements. And sometimes I'll take a particular perspective on a story to increase dramatic storytelling or suspense or whatnot. But, I mean, I've had people say, wow, you really like your comic. And maybe it's just a lack of creativity on my part.
Ryan?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I'd say it's mostly me. I mean, I do exaggerate feelings. I do move things around or simplify things. I'm a big believer that you shouldn't just draw life completely as it is on paper. Like, I do try to edit things, and sometimes my memory is not very good, or, you know, I tend to bias things. You know, I don't trust my own memory on some level. So, you know, that's like one of those, like, what is reality questions. So that's a little... It would take me like about, you know, 3 hours to think of a good answer for that. What is really me anyway?
That is one of those questions of life, the world, the universe, everything.
Yeah.
But that is it for this episode of the Webcomic Beacon.
Wait, I don't get to answer.
Oh, shoot. I'm sorry. That is not it. I am very sorry, Rory.
Everyone forgets the robot. I mean, it's the essence of me. I'll make it really quick. It's the essence of me. There's and it's pretty obvious when it's cartoony, because I like to kind of go in that Chuck Jones area sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, many times I thought maybe I should put like a big link that says when you're tired of dancing and cats, read, you know, Because of Ivan, which is the other strip, which is all like sadness almost. So I don't know. It's pretty much me. It's the happy part to me.
The happy part.
Tiny People like, Robots is the happy part to me because Ivan is the other.
The not happy part. They balance out.
Happy.
I like the term the essence. That makes a good sense. It's the essence of me with edited writing, because the writing of real life sucks a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, wordy and awkward.
Part of the reason I brought the question up. Part of the reason I brought the question up is because if you go to like thatguywiththeglasses.com and see all like the reviewers on there and they're in their own videos, several of them will say that they basically play exaggerated versions of themselves.
Yeah.
So I was just kind of curious if there was anything kind of like that in journal comics, which I'm sure there is, you know, for some people.
It does have to be. Real life is an inside joke all the time. I mean, you're there with people who know you. So it's unique, and you do have to change some things. You can't just I couldn't put down a conversation verbatim and have it make any sense to anybody who didn't know the people. So
I suppose.
It's got to be entertaining and approachable. Like, you have to invite people in.
Yeah.
You know?
It's encapsulated life.
It is.
And it's probably good. Like, we were talking before, to have, like, it separates you just a little bit. Like, maybe just enough to not feel like you're naked all the time.
I'm going to go to the park barriers now. That's awesome.
Well, all right.
Boundaries.
Well, we are at the end of our show, but I do want to thank everybody for being here. It's been a great episode. I wish we had more time, but we don't. So as I said at the top of the show, you're going to want to start going to webcastbeacon.com now. Update your feeds and try to use that as the re-bookmark the webcomic beacon as webcastbeacon.com. Because I'm going to be making that switch over, and I'm hoping it's this week that it'll be an official launch on that site. So stay tuned there. Anyway, we've had Leslie Davison from Peeling Onions at peeling-onions.com. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. It was awesome. Nice.
Excellent. And we've had Ryan Dow from Introspective Comics at ryandow.com. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yay, Ryan!
And of course, Rory with no last name from tinypinkrobots.smackjeeves.com.
Oh,
wait,
secret.
What? I missed it. I missed the secret. What was it?
That was Curtington. It's not like their last name. That would be so awesome.
Oh, Curtington. Oh, Lord. I'm gullible, too.
Yeah, me too. I was all excited. She exposed herself.
Expose yourself. Anyway, this has been Fess from Fessworks.com.
And this is Tanya from Daisies and Shit Productions.com.
Tune in for more at webcomicbeacon.com.